to startuprad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews,
This is Joe from startuprad.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany. As you can see, I'm still in my cramped study. As you can see, I did not clean up yet. I'm not completely moved in, but I'll promise I'll get there one day. Today, I'm here because I do have a guest, the startup of the month, in June 2019, a startup called Cashlink. Congratulations, Michael.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're very happy and honored to be startup of the month in June. And yeah, we already had the pleasure to have a podcast a few weeks ago. So I'm happy to talk again.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because we've tried like two times to get a video podcast going, because two times Betsy didn't want to do it. Once it was just not working. On my bicycle, I rode the camera through Frankfurt, and at the end it was too cold. It just didn't want to work. And the second time it actually stopped auto-focusing, and we've just been some big blobs. So that's why I'm more than happy that you're Frankfurt Forward Startup of the Month, June 2019. Disclaimer, this is not a paid media partnership. We do it free of charge. And let's talk a little bit about Cashlink and what we see in the background. This is the fintech hub of Deutsche Börse in lovely Bornheim. Can you tell us a little bit about that and your startup, please?
Yeah, so we're Cashlink. So we're a tokenization platform for startups. So what we're doing is we're helping startups to issue digital securities, security tokens, so that they can easily onboard new investors, and that investors get a very flexible share, which they can sell at any time by using the blockchain or by just simply having a security token. So we do this fully compliant in Germany. And also our solution is completely standardized. So if a startup comes to us and wants to get tokenized, we can tokenize the startup in 1 week. As you just said, I'm sitting here at the lovely FinTech Hub of Deutsche Börse. So we are one of the four startups which moved in quite a long time ago. And we're still here, and we're very happy because the exchange between the big player Deutsche Börse here in Frankfurt and us is very, very valuable for both sides. And yeah, we highly profited from having our office here. And now we can see that some startups moved out and now more startups move in. We also have kind of a change here. And what's also really, I think the main point about this FinTech Hub is that it's totally focused on FinTech. So we see many startup hubs in Germany, but usually they have not, they have some clusters in between, but here it's really focused on FinTech, and it's very valuable because FinTechs usually have the same problems. They face regulation, they face banking corporations, no matter if you're a FinTech in lending or if you're a blockchain startup. At the bottom line, it's kind of the same challenges, and that's why just having exchanging ideas, talking to each other, just brings a lot of value to any one of us here at the FinTech Hub. And especially here, the Deutsche Börse Venture Network, which connects startups and investors, for example, also helps us a lot. When we look for investors, we also find one investor through this Deutsche Börse Venture Network. And on the other side, we can also provide the Deutsche Börse Venture Network with insights from the startup ecosystem, because I'm personally also very involved in the startup ecosystem in Frankfurt.
We may want to add that you are very involved because you're one of the hosts of the FinTech Meetup Frankfurt, which is the largest FinTech meetup in continental Europe. So that appears to be a little bit of work on the side besides being an entrepreneur. Plus, we may add that Deutsche Börse is actually the company behind Frankfurt Stock Exchange, Xetra, Eurex, and all of that. And they are running the largest central counterparty in the world, which most people don't know, which is actually located and headquartered in Frankfurt. They have a very lovely building there. Mm-hmm. And they have an outpost, the FinTech Hub, that is where you guys are. Everybody who wants to know a little bit more what you guys are actually doing, a little bit more into technical terms, they can go down here in the show notes. We'll have a link to our audio only podcast where we just did the interview, because we thought for the people who are listening to us on a regular basis, it gets quite boring if we talk like twice about the same startup in like half a year, which we usually don't do. So therefore, we are talking a little bit more about the German venture capital scene and how you guys actually want to change them.
Yes. Yes. So for us, venture capital is the main topic where we're not doing CashLink. For example, we ourselves, we did several funding rounds. So we as a founder, we went through the whole process of getting venture capitalists on board. And there we like really discovered there are a lot of like challenges to solve, problems to solve. And overall, the whole, like what we figured out is that the whole ecosystem in the venture capital industry and the venture capital industry is funding the whole digitization of the world. Is in many parts very non-digital. So that we thought this was kind of funny, because the startups the venture capital invests in, they do blockchain, they do AI, they do machine learning, they do big data. But if you look at how venture capital works, it sometimes seems from an old world. And so we really tackled into this. And for example, of course, if every founder who has, or most of the founders who are venture capital funded know this. So if you have two founders or three founders, one founder is always fully committed to raising funds. And this, of course, like the founder is probably the most valuable person, or should be the most valuable person of a startup. If one founder is only focused on raising funds, he cannot develop the product or the whole business. So just reducing the amount of time a founder is focused on raising funds can have an enormous impact on the development of the whole startup. And that's actually the point where we thought, okay, the whole process can be way more flexible, can be way more easy. And especially if you look at the numbers, and venture capitalists on the rise, if you look at the German numbers, compared to 2017, 2018, the value of venture capital raised 11%, and the number of financing rounds increased about 15%. So more and more venture capital gets into the market, which is very good. More startups get funding, and more startups get more funding, which is also something which even makes the problem bigger, because how can we transform this very old school process, which is not automated, which is very manual, which is very paper-based, into a more digitalized process, a more automated process, maybe a more standardized process, to just make it easier for both the startups and the investors.
We may add that I'm also partner of the Rhein 9VC, which is a group of three people, what I initiated, where we actually collect VC data in the Greater Rhine-Main region, which is actually, Frankfurt is like the center of the Rhein-Main region, and everybody thinks, oh, small Frankfurt. Actually, that's more on an administrative stuff. It would be if you take London just a square mile and then say everything is something else. It's a little bit with Frankfurt and the Rhein-Main area, like London and Greater London. It's the same place. So there's one city center, one focus of commercial activity, and then there are several specialized areas. And in this Rhein-Main, we found with the Rhein-Main VC last updated in March this year, almost 375 million euros in VC investment. It was actually 374, where surprisingly the classical venture capital was still way ahead. Yeah, I was talking about the numbers we've seen here in Rhein-Main. Yeah. And the most important part was classical venture capital or venture debt. Number two was IPO, of course, due to Frankfurt Stock Exchange. And then there was the classical ICO, mm-hmm. That's a classical. And then we had crowdfunding with a very tiny sliver here. Do you think crowdfunding is falling out of favor and venture capital is getting more important again?
I think this totally depends on your business model. So if you want to connect your fundraising process with like a marketing campaign, and if you have a product which really is about having a strong community, then maybe crowdfunding can be the perfect instrument for fundraising for you. When we talked to so many venture capitalists and business angels, many business angels said, okay, they favor their private investments over crowdfunding, because they say, okay, in some aspects, if you do crowdfunding, it's a total different game. You need more money for the whole marketing campaigns, and you don't know what you get out of it. And on the other hand, many crowdfundings are structured differently. So, for example, I think especially VCs and business angels, they like to have their terms they're used to. So their shareholder agreements they're used to, with their liquidation preferences, anti-dilution, etc. And probably then for the venture capitalist, the crowdfunding mechanism is not their favorite kind of deal, let's say. And of course, some investors want to have a seat on board, and others want to have more the equity upside, which not all the crowdfunding campaigns offer. So overall, I think it totally depends on your business model. But if, of course, if you see all the B2B companies, it totally makes sense to go for venture capital. And I think still crowdfunding will remain in some sort. What won't remain is probably the classical ICO. So we saw all over the world enormous sum of funds raised, but now the ICO market totally decreased and totally collapsed. We can really say collapsed. And so the thing is, what's next? And what I think is, we will see more of digital assets, digital securities, which I would say is it's an overall term. If you say digital assets or digital securities, they can be venture capital. You could also use digital assets for crowdfunding, or you could even use digital assets for IPOs. But it's more like a general term. But I think this technology will maybe change the way venture capital works, it can change the way crowdfunding works, and it can change the way IPOs work. So this will probably drive the whole ecosystem even more.
Do you think we'll see like a blurring of lines between venture capital here on the one side, crowdfunding, and the ICO world?
I wouldn't say the ICO world. I would say digital asset world. So what I think is very important, that we probably have regulated tokens, which are security tokens, because you have an underlying security or an underlying asset, if you have asset-backed security tokens. And I think we will see totally a mixture between them, maybe a blurring. So there will be, for example, we had the ICO where utility tokens, and now we're having more and more security tokens, but maybe we will see a mixture between the utility and security tokens, and we'll see, and startups could, for example, do a crowdfunding, and later on they can use digital and security token offering, and then they can also have in parallel an equity round with venture capitalists, and then they can do an IPO at the end. So I think the whole impact of security tokens is just at the beginning, and we'll see the next years how all these different forms of fundraising will play together, and this is very exciting.
We may want to add that Germany is always a little bit more conservative, and Germany also has a very big tradition of non-listed big companies. For example, what many people would pop to mind is like Aldi, the grocery retailer, its competitor like Lidl. They are also almost globally present. It's one of the many, many examples, like Bertelsmann Group with BMG, who dominates large shares of the music market. And they are all just examples of non-listed companies in Germany. So there's a big tradition in that, and venture capital stepped in there as well. How you guys are actually doing that, digitizing this venture capital market, how do you see the changes will influence Most likely. Admittedly, it will be a little bit biased by your business model. I assume the quota of digital venture capital funding will be high in your forecast, but from what I've heard, forecasts are always very hard, especially concerning the future. So what's your forecast?
Yeah, so of course, as I said, our forecast will include that there's a rise of digital assets, an enormous rise of digital assets, because we think it's
a big surprise to me.
it's a big surprise. But it just makes sense. It just makes sense because the whole process right now is very unflexible. It's manual, it's paper-based. So for example, this is the case for Germany now,
Should we tell our viewers, our listeners, how this process actually works right now in Germany?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense because in Germany, it's a little bit different than in other countries. So in Germany, if you want, if you're an investor and you want to invest in a company, what you do is, of course, you have your deal, you have your founders and you want to invest in the company. And at that point, you have to negotiate the whole shareholders agreement, which usually takes ages. And of course, there's a saying, time kills deals. So if you can reduce the time, the likelihood of the deal increases. And of course, when you then finally have agreed on an agreement, what you then have to do, you have to make an appointment at a notary service where everybody has to be in person. So people have to fly in, people have to meet, and then the notary service reads the whole contract, which in venture capital sometimes takes up to 6 to 7 hours. And after that, the notary service gets a lot of money, and then you're finally settled. But the real settlement, until it's registered at the German Handelsregister, also takes another 2 to 3 weeks. So like the whole settlement process takes weeks. It's very costs a lot of money because you have to go to notary service, see them in person, and it's all completely not automated, and it's manual, and it's based on paper. And of course, here you can have a huge gain in efficiency if you can digitalize the whole process, if you can standardize the process. For example, for foreign investors, it's always not that easy to invest in German companies. And if they can just use digital assets, which they are familiar with, because digital assets is something which is worldwide accessible. Yeah. So it gets way more easier for foreign investors to invest in German countries and not having to fly in, for example, or having to go to a notary service. So this is one point in this whole non-digital venture capital process, which we are digitalizing. But of course, there are many other processes. So for example, there are other startups. So we kind of call this venture tech. So this is our term. We say venture tech. So bringing more tech into the venture capital ecosystem. So one thing what we are doing is to digitalize the process of the fundraising. But other startups are, for example, digitalizing the whole cap table management. Other startups are digitalizing the way deals are sourced and bringing AI and machine learning into deal sourcing. And that's not only about having intro and knowing each other. Also what we're also doing is digitalizing the employee stock option web programs. What other startups are also doing is, for example, like the whole customer relationship management and investor reporting is still something every startup does differently, and it's still Excel or Google Docs based, and bring this into software. So we see many, many areas where we and many other players can bring more tech into the venture capital ecosystem, and therefore just adding value to the whole ecosystem.
Okay, so in the future, we'll see completely digitized venture capital at one point in the future. That may be 1,000 years from now, but it will be there.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring. We'll be right back.